Section 4, Lesson 1. Let's dive into the budget and financial affairs of our community. The budget is essentially our financial roadmap for the upcoming year. It lays out our estimated income and expenses, focusing on two main areas. First, the maintenance of our common property, and second, the overall operation of the association. Now, when we talk about the annual budget, it's divided into three key sections. The first section covers our estimated revenues, which is the money we expect to bring in. The second section outlines our estimated operating expenses. These are the day-to-day costs we incur to keep everything running smoothly. Finally, we have reserve contributions, which are funds set aside for future needs. The budget serves a dual purpose. Not only does it provide a forecast for the coming year, but it also acts as a benchmark, allowing us to evaluate how we performed in the previous year. It's prepared annually for a 12-month period, which we refer to as the fiscal year. Once the budget is adopted, it becomes the foundation for assessments that each owner will pay. Now, let's talk about common expenses. For condominium associations, common expenses encompass a wide range of costs. This includes the expenses related to the operation, maintenance, repair, replacement, or protection of common elements and association property. It also covers the costs associated with fulfilling the powers and duties of the association, as well as any other expenses designated as common by relevant statutes or governing documents. Additionally, reasonable transportation services, insurance for directors and officers, road maintenance, in-house communications, and security services are also included as long as they benefit the unit owners. Even costs mandated by federal, state, or local governments for the condominium property fall under common expenses. And let's not forget about the contractual cost for communication and internet services obtained through bulk contracts. For cooperative associations, common expenses are defined similarly. They include any expenses designated as common by the statute or the cooperative's governing documents, along with those contractual costs for communication services. When it comes to homeowners associations, the statute doesn't specifically define common expenses. Instead, these are outlined in the governing documents. However, it's worth noting that the costs for communication services obtained through bulk contracts can be considered common expenses. Now, let's shift our focus to the general operations categories, which is referred to as the operating fund. This section of the budget is all about the regular, everyday expenses of the association. Think of management, insurance, maintenance, administration, and other operating costs. These are recurring expenses that we anticipate every year. It's important that the budget components are clearly listed by account and classification, and it should provide a schedule of anticipated expenses on both a monthly and annual basis. Next, we have capital expenses and deferred maintenance, which are covered in the reserve fund. This part of the budget deals with non-recurring expenses and is crucial for collecting funds for the long-term needs of the association. For residential condominiums and cooperative associations that are less than 3 stories high, there are specific mandatory reserves that must be included in the budget. These include costs for roof replacements, building painting, pavement resurfacing, and any other capital expenditure or deferred maintenance item that exceeds $10,000. Contingency accounts that are not restricted must be included in the operating portion of the budget. For residential condominiums and cooperatives that are 3 stories or more in height, there are mandatory milestone inspections to consider. The board must arrange for a milestone inspection to be performed by December 30th of the year the building reaches 30 years old, and then every 10 years thereafter. However, local enforcement agencies may require these inspections sooner, especially in areas with environmental concerns like proximity to salt water. If the local enforcement agency determines that an inspection cannot be completed on time due to valid reasons, they may grant an extension. They may also accept previous inspection reports if they meet the necessary requirements. It's important for the condominium or cooperative association, along with any owners of portions of the building not subject to the condominium or cooperative form of ownership, to ensure compliance with these inspection requirements. Once a milestone inspection is required, The local enforcement agency will notify the association and any relevant owners by certified mail. The association must then inform unit owners within 14 days of receiving this notice, including the deadline for the inspection. The first phase of the inspection must be completed within 180 days, and it involves a visual examination of the building's structural components. If any significant structural issues are found, a second phase of inspection will be necessary, which may involve more extensive testing. Upon completion of either phase, the architect or engineer must submit a sealed inspection report to the association and the local government. The association is then responsible for distributing a summary of the findings to all unit owners within 45 days, regardless of whether the news is good or bad. Now, let's touch on the Structural Integrity Reserve Study. This study must be completed at least every 10 years for buildings that are three stories or higher. It includes a visual inspection of key structural components such as the roof, plumbing, electrical systems, and more. The study must identify each item inspected, estimate its remaining useful life, and provide a recommended annual reserve amount to cover future costs. The amounts identified in the study must be included in the budget for those associations required to perform the Structural Integrity Reserve Study and cannot be waived or reduced. For homeowners associations, the budget may also include reserve accounts for capital expenditures and deferred maintenance. These accounts can be established by the developer or through a majority vote of the membership. If reserves are not established, the governing documents will dictate the limits on assessments, including reserves. If the budget does not provide for reserve accounts, a conspicuous statement must be included in the financial report, warning owners that they may face special assessments in the future. Conversely, if the budget does include funding for deferred expenditures, but those accounts are not formally established by the developer or a vote of the membership, a statement must be included in the financial statements, clarifying there are no limitations on the use of those funds. For condominiums and cooperatives that are less than three stories high, reserve funds must be used only for their intended purpose, unless the membership approves a change. Members can vote to waive or reduce reserve collections, but this is only valid for 1 year. The vote in condominiums and cooperatives required to change the use or reserve funds or to waive or reduce the funding of reserves is a majority of the entire membership. On the other hand, the vote required to change the use of reserves or waive or reduce funding of reserves in a homeowners association is a majority of these present at a meeting of the membership where a quorum is present. The board is not required to provide an opportunity for members to vote on waiving or reducing reserves when adopting the annual budget. Interest earned on reserve funds must remain with those funds unless the membership votes otherwise. It's also important to note that reserves must be fully funded unless waived or reduced by a vote of the membership. The frequency of funding for reserves must align with the assessment schedule, and reserve funds cannot be mixed with operating funds except for investment purposes. In the case of vacation and timeshare plans, the managing entity has some flexibility in reallocating reserves without needing consent from purchasers. However, transferring funds from reserve accounts to operating accounts requires majority consent from the owners of the timeshare interests. Finally, let's talk about calculating reserve funding. Reserves for deferred maintenance and capital expenditures should be calculated using a formula that ensures we have enough funds to cover the total estimated costs over the remaining useful life of the assets. This can be done through a separate analysis for each asset or a pooled analysis for multiple assets. When using a separate analysis, the budget's reserve schedule must include details like the identification of each component, its estimated useful life, remaining life, estimated costs, and the fund balance at the start of the budget period. For pooled analysis, similar information is required, but it focuses on the total estimates for the group of assets. Let's see how much you know. Here are 15 multiple-choice questions based on the detailed overview of the budget and financial affairs section. 1. What is the primary purpose of the budget for a community association? A. To estimate income and expenses for the upcoming year. B. To outline the rules for unit owners. C. To determine the number of unit owners. D. To set the price of units. The correct answer is A. The primary purpose of the budget is to estimate income and expenses for the upcoming year. 2. Which of the following is not a main section of the annual budget? A. Estimated revenues. B. Estimated market value. C. Estimated operating expenses. D. Reserve contributions. The correct answer is B. Estimated market value is not a main section of the annual budget. 3. How often is the budget prepared for a community association? A. Monthly. B. Quarterly. C. Biannually. D. Annually. The correct answer is D. The community association budget is prepared annually. 4. Common expenses for condominium associations include A. Personal expenses of unit owners. B. Marketing costs for selling units. C. Maintenance and repair of common elements. D. Individual unit renovations. The correct answer is C. Common expenses for condominium associations include maintenance and repair of common elements. 5. What must be included in the budget for residential condominiums and cooperatives less than 3 stories high? A. Marketing expenses. B. Mandatory reserves for specific capital expenditures. C. Legal fees for disputes. D. Costs for social events. The correct answer is B. Mandatory reserves for specific capital expenditures must be included in the budget for residential condominiums and cooperatives less than 3 stories high. 6. For buildings 3 stories or more in height, when must a milestone inspection be performed? A. Every 10 years after reaching 30 years old. B. Every year. C. Only when requested by unit owners. D. Every 5 years. The correct answer is A. For buildings 3 stories or more in height, a milestone inspection must be performed every 10 years after reaching 30 years old. 7. What is the purpose of a structural integrity reserve study? A. To assess the aesthetic appeal of the building. B. To evaluate the structural safety and integrity of the building. C. To determine the market value of units. D. To plan social activities for residents. The correct answer is B. The purpose of a structural integrity reserve study is to evaluate the structural safety and integrity of the building. 8. How must the association notify unit owners of a required milestone inspection? A. By posting on social media. B. By phone call. C. By text message. D. By certified mail. The correct answer is D. The association must notify unit owners of a required milestone inspection by certified mail. 9. What happens if the budget of a condominium less than 3 stories in height does not provide for reserve accounts? A. The association can ignore the budget. B. A statement must be included warning of potential special assessments. C. The budget is automatically approved. D. Unit owners can vote to increase assessments. The correct answer is B. If the budget of a condominium less than 3 stories in height does not provide for reserve accounts, a statement must be included warning of potential special assessments. 10. How often must the structural integrity reserve study be performed? A. Every month. B. Every 5 years. C. Every 10 years. D. Only when requested by unit owners. The correct answer is C. The structural integrity reserve study be performed every 10 years. 11. What is the primary focus of the operating expenses section of the budget? A. Long-term capital projects. B. Marketing and advertising costs. C. Legal fees for disputes. D. Regular everyday expenses of the association. The correct answer is D. The primary focus of the operating expenses section of the budget is regular everyday expenses of the association. 12. Which of the following is a requirement for the milestone inspection report? A. It must be completed by a licensed architect or engineer. B. It can be performed by any member of the association. C. It must be submitted to the local enforcement agency. D. It does not need to be documented. The correct answer is C. A requirement for the milestone inspection report is that it must be submitted to the local enforcement agency. 13. What must the association do within 14 days of receiving a notice for a milestone inspection? A. Notify unit owners of the required inspection. B. Schedule a meeting with unit owners. C. Ignore the notice. D. Submit a report to the local government. The correct answer is A. Within 14 days of receiving a notice for a milestone inspection, the association must notify unit owners of the required inspection. 14. What is the consequence of failing to complete a structural integrity reserve study? A. The association can continue without any penalties. B. It is considered a breach of fiduciary duty by the officers or directors. C. The budget is automatically voided. D. Unit owners must pay additional fees. The correct answer is B. The consequence of failing to complete a structural integrity reserve study is considered a breach of fiduciary duty by the officers or directors. 15. How can homeowners associations establish reserve accounts? A. By the developer's decision alone. B. By the board's discretion without member input. C. By a majority vote of the membership. D. By state mandate only. The correct answer is C. Homeowners associations establish reserve accounts by a majority vote of the membership. How did you perform on Section 4, Lesson 1? If you'd like a refresher, feel free to revisit the lesson. You can also consult your course manual in Section 4, pages 111 to 125 of your Gray Systems, Inc. Course Manual.